بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. وقال تعالى: وكذلك نولي بعض الظالمين بعضا بما كانوا يكسبون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Sam'an rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a tabi'i, a person that had seen Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He says, Sami'tu Aba Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu muta'awwidhan min imarati sibyani wa sufaha, that I heard Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala making a dua. And what was the dua of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala? That is making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that protect me from the time when the leaders will be childish people and the leaders will be foolish people. So here he doesn't refer to childish people being little children. Perhaps somebody that is 13, 14 years old, he'll become a leader. Perhaps a person has reached the age of 45 and 50 and 60, but still we find that he's got no experience whatsoever. He's like a little child. When he comments in the media, you say that this man is a foolish person. How can he be a leader? So ya Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, in khayrul qurun, in the best of times, he is making such a dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from such a era where foolish people and childish people become the leaders. When they have their parties, then in their parties, how do they behave? How, when they are intoxicated, that perhaps little children don't even behave in this manner. So nevertheless, as Sa'id ibn Sam'an rahimahullah ta'ala, thereafter asked Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, O Abu Hurairah, ma ayatu dhalik, that what is the sign of this? There should be some indication that will tell us that we are living in the time where foolish people have become leaders, where childish people have become leaders. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned a few signs. The first sign that he mentioned, he said, ayyukta al-arham, that family relationships will be severed. This is an indication that now foolish people have become leaders. This is something that has become very, very common in our time, in our era. And this family relationship being severed, this is because of few reasons. One reason is this, because of our business partnerships. That initially when a partnership is enacted, then everyone is very, very happy. Everyone is working very, very, very well now to build that empire. But the problems come in later on when the empire is now built, when there's many, many assets, there's many, many properties. Now we find that the dispute starts, now the fight starts. At that time, now we will refer to the ulama that what is the Sharia ruling in regards to this masla. But initially when we enacted that shirkat and that partnership, at that time we're not interested as to what is the Sharia way to conduct this partnership. How should we go ahead with this partnership? So many a time this also happens when a father, he brings his son into the partnership. And after bringing his son comes in to help the father. After some time, the father, he forms a company, he forms a close corporation, and here he enters the name of his son in that close corporation or that company. Now the son thinks, I'm 50% shareholder of that business, but later on, when now the father leaves the world, now the dispute starts. How did you become the owner in the partnership? The remainder of the heirs now go to the muftis. They say that, did you purchase it? No, it is invalid, or the gift was invalid. So we find that because of shirkat, many times family relationships are severed. The second reason that many a times family relationships are severed is when a divorce takes place, when there is separation between spouses. Now we find this is one of the reasons that family relationships are severed. In the fuqaha have mentioned very, very clearly, when there are little children that are involved, then who should the children go to? Who is entitled to custody of the child? The fuqaha have mentioned, as far as a boy is concerned, a boy remains with his mother till the age of 7. Why? Because up to the age of 7, who's going to cook for the child? Who's going to clean the child? Who's going to clothe the child? It is the responsibility of the mother. When the child has now reached the age of 7, boys generally become very, very rebellious. Now they will not listen to the mother any longer. So to say, they will now rule the mother. So now Sharia said that custody of the child is afforded to the father. The father will be able to take care of the child. When it comes to a girl lives with the mother, she is entitled to custody up to the age of 9 years old. Why up to the age of 9? That not only does the mother have to clothe her and clean her, but we find that up by the age of 9, now that child must know, that girl must know how to cook also. By the age of 9, that girl must know how to clean the house, how to take care of all the needs of the house. And once she has reached the age of 9, now the father is entitled to custody, because the girl has reached such an age where she now will start desiring other men, and men will start having desire for her. That mother does not have the ability of taking care of this girl now. She cannot afford sufficient protection to this girl. So therefore now the father becomes responsible that he will afford that protection to the child. So we find the laws of custody have been stipulated in the hadith. The fuqaha have mentioned this absolutely clearly. But many a time we find that obviously there are certain exemptions to the rule as well. For example, if the father, he is of such a person, he is involved in drugs. Now he is involved, he is doing this evil in the house. This will have a negative impact on the child. So in such a situation, obviously the father won't be entitled to custody of the child. Or where the father, he relinquishes his right, then the father is not entitled to custody of the child. Now the custody goes to the mother. But in spite of this, we find many a time when there is a dispute between husband and wife, many a times people do not want to take the Sharia route. Now we will take the secular route, we will go to the courts, and whatever the courts will decide, many a time they rule in favor of the mother, although she is not entitled to custody, but custody must be given to her. When that mother got custody of that child, now what happens, she will now poison the child against the father, use the child now against the father. So many a time that child is deprived and does not have any communication with the father. So this is another reason that family relationships many a time are severed. The another reason why family relationships generally are severed is because of inheritance. A person, he passes away, he makes a will, and that will is contrary to Sharia. Now one particular heir is getting much more, and another heir has been deprived of his right. That person that is being deprived of his right, obviously perhaps he may be such a person that is not on deen, but because here it is in his interest, he is going to get a little more, so he will take the Sharia route, and the other person will take the secular route, and because of this we find that many a times that family relationships are severed. So the first sign that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, ayyukta al-arham. The second reason Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, or the second indication that evil people have become rulers, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that ayyuta al-mughwi, that a man that leads other people astray, the time will come where he will be obeyed. A man that is going on the wrong path, people will obey such a person. This is an indication that the leaders are now incorrect and the leaders are now corrupt. We find that this has become very, very common also, that a person that is an influential person or a person that is an affluent person in society, generally people will incline towards such a person, yet that they know that this person is not a man that treads the path of Sharia. When it comes to the part of tasawwuf, also our Zid Dawud Barakatuhu always mentions that there are many, many shuyukh and mashayikh that are out there. Many of these mashayikh and many, many shuyukh that are out there, that they are fakes. They do not follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will give the example or the incident all the time, that one sheikh, he went to a certain area. When he came to the certain area, now everybody started giving dawud. Everybody started calling the sheikh. Now he's coming to the homes. He's enjoying the dawud. All the murideens are also enjoying. So one day while he was walking, all of a sudden stop. He hit a sharp break. So they said, what happened? He said, don't you know what happened? He said, what happened? Says the dog was entering Kaaba Sharif. So I chased the dog out of Kaaba Sharif. So now people are yakin, no, he's a very, very great sheikh. So he went, this person, one particular person, he went home, he told his wife that now we also have to give Sheikh Dawud. So she said, no problem, you can give Sheikh. She said that, no, he's a fake. This is what happened, he's a fake. So then he said, no, it's my Sheikh, I have to give him Dawud. So she agreed. She said, no problem, bring him home. I'll sort him out. I know the remedy to this problem. So now he was given Dawud. When he came to that particular home, she said, I'm going to dish out the food. So what she did, she started dishing out the food. And she started giving all the murids their food first. She's not giving the Sheikh. Dawud is because of the Sheikh, but the murids are getting their food first. And she put big, big chunks of meat on the top. So all the murids are enjoying. Sheikh doesn't have food. Finally, the food of the Sheikh comes. And what she did, the meat was in the bottom. And all the rice she put on top. So now when he sat down with the food, he's absolutely angry. Everyone is enjoying big, big chunks of meat. Here, there's no meat for me. So when he became angry, now she came with that chamcha. And she gave him one shot. She said, you're a liar, you're a fake. That you could see from here the door entering Kaaba Sharif. But here you couldn't see the meat that is right under your nose. So what a fake he was. So here also we learn that many, many such peers and many, many mashayikh also, we find that this is how they mislead the murid just to get money out of the murid. Mufti Taqi Sahib Dawud Barakatuhu may have mentioned that in Pakistan, in one pamphlet it was written that only that person can become a sheikh that can make his murid perform salah in Kaaba Sharif. Now where is this anywhere in our deen? Where is this in any hadith in the Quran Sharif that you must make your murid read salah in Kaaba Sharif? Then only you will be regarded as a sheikh. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah, when he is going to Madina al-Munawwara making hijrah, at Maqam al-Juhfa he stands, he looks at Makkah Sharif, he says, oh Makkah, I love you, oh Makkah. If I was not taken out of your Makkah, I wouldn't have left you. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did Makkah Sharif. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is filled with fever. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala at that time is going through so much of difficulty. He is desiring to see the mountains of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Nabi alayhi salam didn't tell Bilal radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Bilal, come, I'll make you perform one salah in Kaaba Sharif. So we find that this was their condition, and this is what happened here. In, as I mentioned, on one occasion there was an advertisement in the Pakistani newspaper that two sheikhs have come from somewhere in Saudi and they are advertising people must become murids. So here, when this was mentioned to our Dada Sheikh Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi, Hazrat said that find out, do they have any sanad also going to Nabi alayhi salatu salam? So when they found that they got no sheikh, so he said, La ta'khudh hu baba man la babala. That person got no father, don't take him as your father. He's got no chain going up to Nabi alayhi salam, where are you taking him as your father? So this is the second sign that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned. And the third sign that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that is an indication that this, that the leaders are corrupt. He said, وَيُعْسَلْ مُرْشِدْ, that a man that will direct you and take you to the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ulama that will direct you to the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ulama will be disobeyed. Mashayikh that will show you the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will show you the path towards Jannat, the mashayikh will be disobeyed. That those that are involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, those that are knocking at your doors, taking you to the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these are the people that will be, disobeyed. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that one of the signs of Qiyamah is this, that there will be such people that will come about, antara al-hufat al-urat, that you see people that never had shoes, people that never had clothing on their bodies, al-ala, people that were poor people that used to beg from other people for their needs, antara al-hufat al-urat al-ala, ri'a al-shah, people that were shepherds, that were tending to their flock, yatafawaluna fil bunyan, that today a time has come where they're competing in massive, massive buildings. This is an indication that they have become the leaders now, and this is an indication that this is a time where the leaders have now become corrupt. So we find all these things have been mentioned in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ayat of Quran that I've recited, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in one verse, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that corruption has become apparent in the land also and in the sea also. In the land, as Murana mentioned also now, that there is a lack of rain. This week one person he was mentioning, he says, I'm an importer of Thai rice. He says, I bring Thai rice all the way from Thailand, and he supplies many, many people in the KwaZulu-Natal area as well, very, very big importer. So he says that, do you know that what damage, there's no rain, what damage the drought has caused? So he tells me that 80% of the crops in South Africa have been destroyed. There's no crops, 80% have been destroyed. But at the same time he tells me, look at the kudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, do you know currently in South Africa there is a glut? A glut actually means where there is an oversupply of goods. That normally our rice, our beans, etc., because it is cheaper to import from other countries, so therefore many, many importers, they bring it in from other countries. It's more, much more expensive to plant here in South Africa. So he says there's an oversupply of rice and various other things from other countries that are brought into the world. So one side Allah Ta'ala is giving us a wake-up call, and on the other side Allah Ta'ala is not punishing us. Allah Ta'ala is favoring us with ni'mas. This I thought about it for a little while. The thought came to my mind, maybe it is correct, maybe it is incorrect. That if sometime a child, perhaps he scratched the car of his father, or he broke his father's cell phone. So what does the father do? Now all the friends are going out to play with their bicycles, or the other brothers and sisters, they're going out to play with the bicycles. So the father, he reprimands him that what you did was wrong, you scratched my car. So to punish him, the father says, you're not allowed to go out. Keep your bicycle away, you sit down in the room and lock the door. So that child is not allowed to go out. But at the same time, what does the father do? At the same time, he goes to the mother, and he'll tell the mother very, very quietly that don't worry. After 10-15 minutes, you quietly let him go. You tell him go and play outside and don't do this next time. So one side he reprimanded his son, but on the other side he gave the son leeway also that you go and play. So similarly, on one side Allah Ta'ala is giving us our wake up call, but on the other side Allah Ta'ala is not depriving us of our ni'mas. So Allah Ta'ala says that this corruption has become apparent in the land also, in the sea also. And what is the purpose? يُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that he will make them taste part of the actions. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, come back to the path, come back to Sirat al-Mustaqim, come back on the path of deen and obey the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the other verse Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا مِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that we befriend some of the wrongdoers, oppressors with some, meaning upon some, oppressors upon some. When we disobey the command of Allah, such leaders Allah Ta'ala appoints upon us, that will oppressors will be appointed over us, that oppress us, bima kanu yaksibun, here also because of our deen. However, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at the same time has given us the prescription. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us in the hadith that when you live in such a time, don't speak ill of these rulers, don't swear these rulers, that today every gathering that we have, we're speaking ill of this leader, we're speaking ill of that leader and that ruler, this government official is corrupt, that government official is corrupt. Nabi alayhi alayhi salam says, don't speak ill of them. Don't sway these rulers. But what should you do? Nabi alayhi salatu salam says that you make dua to Allah ta'ala. Wallah, make my islah. Let me be corrected, O Allah. And when I am corrected, O Allah, then appoint such people upon over us that will obey your command, O Allah, that will be good people, that will be people of taqwa. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam mentioned that all these leaders and all these rulers that are there, their hearts bayna usbu'ain ar-Rahman. They are between the fingers of Rahman, between the fingers of Allah ta'ala. يُقَلِّبُهُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Allah ta'ala can turn that heart however Allah ta'ala wants to turn it. If we obey the command of Allah, then these people, we find that they will be kind towards us. And if we disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we find their hearts will be turned against us. I'll just terminate on this. As it always mentioned, the incident of Mufti Taqi Sahib, down barakatum, he says that Mufti Sahib mentioned that in Pakistan, that many people, they shout slogans, that Islam Zindabad, that Islam must come alive in the entire world. He says this is a desire of every person. Everyone has this desire that Islam must flourish throughout the four corners of the world. And it is for us to remain under kuffar rule, this is humiliation. Our desire must be Islam must rule. Muslims must become the rulers of the world. So nevertheless, Mufti Sahib says that is quite in order. He says, but look at our body. This is like one country that we have. And in this one country that we have different provinces. We have the province of the eyes also. And in this country that we have, we are the only president. We have no opposition also. We have the province of the eye. We have the province of the ears. We have the province of the mouth. Different provinces we have in this one body that we have. Now ask ourselves, that can we bring Islam in the province of the ears? Are we bringing Islam in the province of the ears? In the province of the ears, where we supposed to use our ears using in those things? Are we bringing Islam in the province of our eyes? Are we controlling our eyes? If every person in this manner, he worries about himself, Islam will come in throughout the world. On another occasion, has it mentioned? If I'm not mistaken, was Mufti Rafi Sahib, that he was traveling by air, and he was in the first class, so they came and they offered wine to him. So he said, no, it's not possible, I cannot drink this is haram for me. So then the cabin crew, whoever was a senior, they brought that person in, that person now came and offered the wine to Mufti Sahib. He says, no, you must drink this wine. So he says, no, I can't drink this wine. So the captain came finally. Captain said, you must accept this wine. So this person said, no, I can't, it is not permissible for me. So then he said that take the wine and give it to the captain, it's hadiah from my side, let the captain drink the wine. Oh, what you talking? The captain must drink the wine. He is flying the aircraft. So many hundreds of passengers are over here. And their life is in danger. So he said the captain is on duty. He cannot drink that wine. I'm a Muslim. 24 hours of my life, I am also on duty. I got to obey every command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I got to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. And if this comes into our life, then we find Allah ta'ala will bring such rulers over us that people like Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, when Sulaiman ibn Marwan, he was passing away. So at that time he wanted to appoint his successor. So he said, he called all his children, he said, bring all my sons to me. And every child of mine must come in his armor. I want to see who is most brave from all my children. And that is the son that will be appointed as a successor. So all the children were brought in front of him. He said, Inna bani subiyat sihara, that my children are very, very small. None of my children can become a successor, can become the king of the time. Aflaha man kana lahu kibar, that successful is the man who's got big children. When a man is for big children, that child can be appointed as a successor. He can become the king of the country. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi was sitting here. So what did he say? He said, aflaha man kana lahu kibar. He said, qad aflaha man zakkaha. Certainly successful is a person, not who has big children, but successful is a person that makes tazkiyah of himself. When he said this, the king mentioned that when a man is talking in this manner, that successful is a man that makes his tazkiyah. He says that when he will rule, shaitan won't even have his finger in that rulership of his. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq and all of us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.